And I want to welcome you to the podcast for this first full week of November 2024. Second week of November, first full week of November. And this podcast being posted on November the 2nd, Saturday, November the 2nd. On the podcast today, we're turning the page and going to the next chapter in 2 Samuel chapter number 9, as we start a multi-week study on Mephibosheth and how David went and fetched Mephibosheth and how David wanted to shew Mephibosheth kindness. We're going to start off looking at some of the timing. When did this happen? How old was Mephibosheth? How old was David? And look at some of the timing, and then we'll go from there. We'll cover David's motivations. We're going to go back and look at the interpretation of this scripture. And so go ahead and be turning to 2 Samuel chapter number 9. 2 Samuel chapter number 9. Before we begin reading today, this is a very, very commonly preached scripture. It really is. This scripture I've heard many, many messages out of. There's so many things that could be preached here. And the parallel with salvation is strong. But the way we're going to approach this scripture is we're going to read through it, and then we're going to break it down like we always do. And we're going to look at what's going on. We're going to look at the primary interpretation, which, years ago, my former pastor, Brother Claude Nicholson, made a statement that at the time I really disagreed with. He made the statement from the pulpit, and I said, now, wait a minute. But then he explained himself. He made the statement, there's only one correct interpretation of each scripture. Interpretation. That is, what does the scripture actually mean? There's a interpretation. He says, now don't get me wrong, there's plenty of applications, but there's always one primary interpretation. And that's what we're going to look at first. We're going to look at the interpretation of this scripture first. But then we're going to look at the applications. And there's several. There are several. We're going to be in this scripture for several weeks, I believe. I don't know how many. The Lord will let us know when we're done. Just like previous scriptures, we were in the previous chapter for a little while. But this chapter is really interesting. It's really interesting. So many possible angles, applications, that is, for this passage. And so, I've heard many messages on this. I know which my favorite is. I do. I remember hearing a message back in 2001, 2002 time frame on the subject of looking back at Lodabar. And that message has stuck with me. And you can find that message online if you look for the title, Looking Back at Lodabar. And it's a great, great outline of a message. It really is. If you go and outline it and follow along with the message, you'll find very quickly that it's a great parallel for salvation. Looking back at Lodabar. And we're going to perhaps address that angle on it. But we need to get the overall picture. What is happening here? What is this scripture about? What's the primary interpretation? And then we'll look at secondary applications. Okay? 2 Samuel chapter number 9, and beginning reading with verse number 1. And David said, is there yet any that is left of the house of Saul, that I may shew him kindness for Jonathan's sake? And there was of the house of Saul a servant whose name was Ziba. And when they had called him unto David, the king said unto him, art thou Ziba? And he said, thy servant is he. And the king said, is there not yet any of the house of Saul, that I may shew the kindness of God unto him? And Ziba said unto the king, Jonathan hath yet a son, which is lame on his feet. And the king said unto him, Where is he? And Ziba said unto the king, Behold, he is in the house of Machir, the son of Ammiel, in Lodabar. Then King David sent, and fetched him out of the house of Machir, the son of Ammiel, from Lodabar. Now when Mephibosheth, the son of Jonathan, the son of Saul, was come unto David, he fell on his face and did reverence. And David said, Mephibosheth. And he answered, Behold thy servant. And David said unto him, Fear not, for I will And David said unto him, Fear not, for I will surely shew thee kindness for Jonathan thy father's sake, and will restore thee all the land of Saul thy father, and thou shalt eat bread at my table continually. And he bowed himself and said, What is thy servant that thou shouldest look upon such a dead dog as I am? Then the king called to Ziba, Saul's servant, and said unto him, I have given unto thy master's son all that pertained to Saul and to all his house. Thou therefore and thy sons and thy servants shall till the land for him, and thou shalt bring in the fruits, that thy master's son may have food to eat. But Mephibosheth, thy master's son, shall eat bread alway at my table. Now Ziba had 15 sons and 20 servants. Then said Ziba unto the king, According to all that my lord the king hath commanded his servant, so shall thy servant do. As for Mephibosheth, saith the king, he shall eat at my table as one of the king's sons. And Mephibosheth had a young son whose name was Micah. And all that dwelt in the house of Ziba were servants unto Mephibosheth. So Mephibosheth dwelt in Jerusalem, for he did eat continually at the king's table and was lame on both his feet. All right. Now, we looked very briefly at Mephibosheth before, way back in 2 Samuel chapter number 4. Where we find that when tidings came of the death of Jonathan and Saul, Mephibosheth was 5 years old. And during the fleeing from wherever to wherever, the nurse that had Mephibosheth apparently dropped him, and he fell, and he was lame on both of his feet. Now, I don't know what exactly happened when he fell, what broke, but he was still able to move around enough to where he did have a young son by the name of Micah. And so the fact that he has a young son kind of constrains his age here. And let's look at that first. Let's look at the numbers first. This is always something that I love to look at. I love to look at numbers in the Bible. First off, he was 5 years old when he became lame on his feet. Five, of course, being the number of the grace of God. But let's look at something a little more fleshly in nature. So if Mephibosheth was five, and he was Jonathan's son, and according to 1 Chronicles, he was Jonathan's only son. Jonathan's son, Merib-Baal. And that's what he's called in 1 Chronicles, is Merib-Baal. But the difference between the Baal and the Bosheth endings, not enough to worry about. It's just a different way of spelling the same name, like we've seen before. We'll see it again. Bathsheba versus Bathsheba. Same woman, same name, different spellings. Like Michael versus Mike. Are Robert and Bobby. How does that work? How do you get a B out of that R sound from Robert? Huh? But you do. And so Mephibosheth, Merib-Baal, same man, same name, different spellings. Now, we can get really wound up about those spellings, but that's not the point. The Point is, he was 5 years old. And his father, Jonathan, was much, much older. We've talked about the age of Jonathan before and how much difference in age there was between David and Jonathan. David was much, much younger than Jonathan. Jonathan was like a father figure. In fact, Jonathan was old enough to be David's father. And he was old enough to be David's father for sure. And we've done that math before. David was 30 years old when he began to reign, we find out. And that was when he began to reign in Hebron. And so he reigned in Hebron for 7 years. Before he reigned over all Israel. He reigned in Hebron beginning at age 30. And Saul reigned over all Israel for 40 years, we find later in the scriptures. And so that 40 years of Saul means Saul had reigned 10 years before David was even born. David was born the 10th year of Saul's reign, give or take a year, just depending on exactly where in the year it falls. And Jonathan was old enough to go to battle by the time Saul's reign began. So maybe 20, maybe a little more than 20. So if Jonathan is 20 years old at the beginning of Saul's reign, he's 60 years old at the end of it. And David being 30, that means Jonathan was 30 years old when David was born. Thereabouts. There's a point to all this. There's a point. David was that much younger. He was at least 30 years younger than Jonathan was. At least. Jonathan was almost old enough to be David's grandpa. So, David is that much younger than Jonathan. But Mephibosheth was 5 at the death of Jonathan. And Jonathan was at least 60, I would say, at least 60, when Mephibosheth was 5. Meaning Jonathan was 55 years old when Mephibosheth was born. Now that's quite the age difference. But what that means is that David was at least 25 years older than Mephibosheth. Do you see a pattern? David is virtually the same age older than Mephibosheth as Jonathan was older than David. And furthermore, when David and Jonathan's souls were twined together as father, almost like father and son, they were best friends. Best friends. And closer than a brother. But they were not even close to the same age. And that's the part that gets a lot of people. They were not both teenagers. Jonathan had been around a long time when David first came around. David was a teenager, maybe 15 years old, when he killed Goliath, roughly. He wasn't quite old enough to be out there with the army, so he wasn't yet 20. But he had to be old enough to be able to do what he needed to do. So it's very likely he was 17, 18 years old when he went out there and defeated Goliath. Mephibosheth is not far from that age when David fetches him. He's not. He's old enough to have a son. A young son. Little fella. But he is, he's not very old. And so this kind of puts the timing. David has been reigning for a while now. He reigned 7 years in Hebron. And if that started immediately after the death of Saul, which we looked at it and it did, that means at the time that David reigns over all Israel, Mephibosheth is roughly 12 years old. So Mephibosheth's uncle, Ishbosheth, you know, he reigned for a little while. He reigned 2 years, and then they started fighting with David. And he reigned longer than 2 years. But when he was killed by Abner, Mephibosheth was not even yet 13 years old, more than likely. And so, age 12, he then has to flee. But he can't flee. He has a nice man by the name of Machir, son of Amiel, in Lodabar. And that is, that's quite the name. We're going to study that. We're going to look at the name Lodabar and look at its geography in detail a little bit later. But that's Mephibosheth's life. Let's look at that. Let's timeline his life real quick. He's born. David has been on the run for years by the time Mephibosheth is even born. I don't know if David knew about him. I don't know if David knew Jonathan had a son. He might have got tidings that Jonathan had a little boy. I don't know. Jonathan being 55 years old when Mephibosheth was born, I'm sure that figured in a lot to it. He was old enough to be Mephibosheth's grandpa. He was, yeah. And Jonathan died at least 60 years old. Mephibosheth, he's very young, but he is the grandson of the king. He is the son of the heir to the throne. Jonathan was the heir. He was the one that should have taken the throne from Saul, and then Mephibosheth would have been in line after him. And that's it's interesting. Even today, the monarchy in the United Kingdom, they do that. The sons of William are in line before Harry. Mm-hmm. Prince William's sons are in line before any of Charles and Diana's other children. And there's a whole order. There's a whole order of the succession there. Mephibosheth actually was the fleshly rightful heir to the throne of Saul based on the normal succession rules. But Ishbosheth had taken that. Mephibosheth was only 12. Well, he was only 5. And so Abner made Ishbosheth the king. And Ishbosheth took the throne and reigned from Mahanaim. Well, Mahanaim is in the same neighborhood as Lodabar. Lodabar is close by Mahanaim in the land of Gilead, in the area of Manasseh and Gad and Reuben. It's where Lodabar is located. And so that's a little bit of the backstory. So Mephibosheth, he's born. He's 5 years old. And tidings come that his father's dead. He's carried away. And they run and they fall. And he's lame on his feet, both of them. Don't know what happened. Maybe a spinal cord injury. Very low down on his back. It was not too high on his back, but it was high enough to keep him from walking. And so he was lame on both of his feet. And it might have been that he just broke both legs, or maybe he broke his pelvis, and they didn't have a way of really setting that at the time. I don't know exactly what his injury was. It did not prevent him from having a young son, but it did prevent him from walking. So Mephibosheth's 5, and they flee, and for a while, he's with his uncle Ishbosheth, I'm sure, and they're at Mahanaim, and then Ishbosheth is killed by Abner, and or not by Abner, but Ish-bosheth is killed by those two men that then bring his head to David. And David says, "What do you think you're doing? You think you're bringing me good tidings? You've killed an innocent man." It wasn't Abner done it. It was the other two men. And then David had them killed. But in any case, at that point, Mephibosheth figures he's in danger. And, or at least the people around him figure that. Mephibosheth is only 12. He's only 12. And so now we have probably at least 8 years has passed. It's been long enough to where Mephibosheth has a young son. He does have a young son. And so he has gotten a wife and married, and they have conceived, and she's brought forth him a son, Micah. And it's an interesting spelling. It's spelled differently elsewhere, but here it's spelled M-I-C-H-A, Micah. And that's the way that would be pronounced. It's the back of the throat K instead of the front of the mouth K. And that's the way the name would be pronounced, Micah, which is similar to his host, Machir. Machir. It's the hard H sound, that C-H. Machir is the name of the man who was his host. And so Micah and Machir are, well, you're just swapping vowels around. Mm-hmm. That's the way that works. So in many ways, maybe Micah is named after the host, Machir. Perhaps. Regardless, Mephibosheth has his son, and he is living in Lodabar. And he is roughly 20 years old. Roughly. Maybe older. The Bible is not specific when this happens, but David has now been reigning for, you know, 8 to 10 years. He's secure in his kingdom. He's had several battles. He's won several battles. His kingdom is secure. He's already had the prophecy of his son is going to set up a forever kingdom. And, of course, that's Jesus. But his earthly son is going to build a house, Solomon, a physical house. One son with a physical house, another son much later down the highway building a spiritual house. Mm-hmm. And a spiritual kingdom. I don't know if Mephibosheth knows all this or not. Tidings, I'm sure, came to him, even in Lodabar. He heard about what David was doing. And perhaps tidings came back that David had killed the man that had killed his uncle, Ish-bosheth. But the flesh is pretty insistent on some things. And one of the things the flesh would have been insistent upon here would have been, Mephibosheth, you're in danger. You need to be out of the way. You need to be in a backwater place where David won't come a-looking. Lodabar was off the beaten highway. Lodabar was the ghetto. It was where nobody went. But there was this man, Machir, of the son of Amiel, who had a house in Lodabar. And we'll talk about that probably next week or maybe a later week, exactly about Lodabar and the geography of Lodabar and what was around Lodabar in the immediate vicinity. But here's Mephibosheth, roughly 20 years old, and David, about 8 years into his reign, maybe 10. If it's 10 years into his reign, then Mephibosheth is a little older. He's 22 years old at that point. And so that's the age difference. David at 30, Mephibosheth at 5. David at 40, Mephibosheth at 15. David at 45. Mephibosheth at 20. A very similar age difference as to from Jonathan to David. And, you know, maybe David thought that he could be the mentor and the father figure to Mephibosheth that Jonathan was to him. And that's where we're going to start next week, the Lord willing. What was David's motivations? What really were David's motivations? And how could those motivations be misunderstood? And that's what we'll deal with next time, the Lord willing. And I want to thank you for listening to the podcast today. The I Want to Know More podcast is a ministry of Brother Lamar Owen. I'm out of the Macedonia Baptist Church located in the Silverstein community of Transylvania County. You can correspond with me by writing to Lamar Owen, Post Office Box 212, Balsam Grove, North Carolina, 28708. Again, that's Lamar Owen, P.O. Box 212, Balsam Grove, North Carolina, 28708. And the Lord willing, we'll see you here again next week on the I Want to Know More podcast.